There's only one thing scarier than a conversion camp. A killer killing the conversion camp counselors in a conversion camp. Wait, no. I mean, yes. Yes, that is the scariest thing in this horror flick. Other than the groundskeeper whose name is Balthazar. That's also scary. Oh, and the mean therapist. And the repressed straight couple, although they're mostly just aggressively hot. And Kevin Bacon. He's kinda scary. It's also scary how shredded the twink was. The theme song of the movie wasn't scary, just unexpected. This week, we watched They Slash Them, a slasher movie that had a decent budget, probably. There are mentions of some yucky stuff with adults around kids, and we do talk about conversion camps. Now let's get on with this spoopy episode!
Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we will be discussing the 2022 American slasher film, They Slash Them. As in with like a slash, like the way people write their pronouns. Written and directed by John Logan. It was his directorial debut, and it stars Theo Germain, Carrie Preston, Anna Chlumsky, Austin Kroot, Quay Tan, Anna Lore, Cooper Cock, Monique Kim, Darwin Del Fabro, Haley Griffith, Boone Platt, Mark Ashworth, and my favorite, my little boy, Kevin Bacon. I've always loved Kevin Bacon. I am not ashamed to admit it. He is great. I remember renting Tremors 2 with my brother when we were like 10 years old and watching Tremors 2 together, having not seen Tremors 1, and really enjoying it.
What did you think of this movie, Chloe?
It's not as good as Tremors 2.
Okay, fair. Fair enough. It's not a slasher.
Oh, I guess he isn't in Tremors 2. We must have rented the original Tremors then.
Wow. Kevin Bacon is so good that you thought that you rented the sequel to a movie.
I thought it was. No, but it must have been Tremors. Anyway, I thought it was Tremors too, because I thought it was really cheesy. But anyways, yeah, let's talk about They Slash Them. So
yeah,
my thoughts on it are that it is not as bad as I thought it would be based on the reviews. Yeah.
I don't think it's a slasher.
It's not. Okay, this is going to be my first thing. It's not really a horror film. It's not. It's like a... Okay, I'm trying to put into words what this is because it's so weird. It's just like, maybe when we do the summary, that will help. Let's start with that because I think that will make things make sense why this is not a horror film. So, a bunch of LGBTQ people arrive at Whistler Camp, owned by Kevin Bacon, a.k.a. Owen Whistler. It's a conversion camp. And at first you think it's, like, chill. Like, he gives this speech about, like, I'm only going to mention God once, and I don't really care if you're gay. This is just a place for you to, like, get to know yourself. And it seems like, I thought at first it was going to be like, oh, he just, like, tells people it's a conversion camp, but gives, like, kids a place to be themselves. That's really nice.
I had the opposite effect, but gone.
Okay, maybe I'm just still fundamentally naive despite you know, living in this society that we exist in, but like I thought, like, oh, you know, and then part of me is forming this conspiracy theory of like Kevin Bacon maybe had a thing where he was like, I'm not gonna play, you know, someone who forcibly tries to get people to act straight, you know, maybe he like wrote in his contract that he wouldn't do that. Nope. It actually is a conversion camp. They're just subtle about it, except until they're not. Anyway.
There are definitely meetings, like meetings upon meetings of like, how do we make this unoffensive to the general public? How do we not get canceled?
So that's one thing to talk about is the fact that they make it very, like they never ever, one, okay. I was going to save this rant for a little while longer into this, but I want to talk about horror and what horror is supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to start by asking you this. I'm going to put you on the spot, Val, and ask if you've seen the
original. Put me on the spot.
Have you seen the original Night of the Living Dead?
Yes.
Okay. The black and white one?
Yes.
So tell me about that movie. Who's the main character?
I don't remember.
He's an African-American man. And what happens to him at the end?
I don't remember. I watched this like 15 years ago.
Fair. He survives the night, and then a posse of white rednecks shoots him in the morning. And to me, that is just the point of horror, is that it's supposed to be transgressive on some level. It's supposed to make a statement. Even things like The Exorcist, there's a statement there about the Catholic Church and how it abuses children. The Shining, it's a statement about mental illness and how people can suffer from it and how it builds and how they don't get help and how they feel isolated and alone. And Babadook, bisexual icon, the Babadook. So it's all transgressive, right?
Yeah.
And the best horror often is. And so this, even though it's not really horror, it's trying to be a slasher film. And I don't think it transgresses anything, because it depicts all the characters as kind of stereotypical LGBTQ people. Like, the main character, Jordan, is trans and non-binary. And is there anything about them that makes them anything more than that identity? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
And then there's a trans woman who is very sassy and proud of the fact that she's black. And again, it's just like they're very archetypal, which is fine for a horror film, but they never go beyond that, and it never makes a bigger point. And there's nothing that transgresses here. And that's my problem with this film. I'll keep talking about the summary now that I've done my little rant.
It's a good rant, and I agree with you.
Thank you. So they are separated into boys and girls camps. They find out that Alexandra is transgender and force her to go to the boys' camp. They take part in activities as a group. And the therapist, it turns out, is awful, who is the wife of Owen Whistler, Cora Whistler. It's implied that she's like the secret unchill person at the camp who's awful.
I don't think it's secret, but they didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, and there's all this other...
They had that one scene where she, like, did therapy with them and was mean.
Yeah, and then she went through their stuff while they were out in the woods.
They were all going through their stuff.
And we learned the rest of the camp counselors are former...
They're LGBTs.
Yeah, yes. And they're very bad at hiding it. The activities...
We didn't need to find it out.
Yes.
We just, like... We didn't need to find it out. We knew. It's such a hit you over the head with a brick movie.
Yes. Oh, and
I didn't hate it,
groundskeeper, who is named Balthazar. It's like, yes. And who has like the creepy groundskeeper chic look to him.
And that's all there's to him.
He's there, I feel like, to be a misdirection. But then he's the first one murdered. So it's like... Okay. I feel like
that's usually what happens. They showed us, like, he stares at the girls once, and then the second and last scene that we see him, he is perving on girls in the shower, and that's it. Like,
yes.
Those are the two
times
we
see him. That's when he gets murdered.
It's not even a misdirection. It's like, we need a character that's creepy. Oh, we forgot to use him.
Yeah. The stuff going on at the camp kind of escalates. The kids are made to, like, participate in, like, gender normative activities that culminates in Owen trying to force Toby, who is the kind of very flamboyant gay man, trying to force him to shoot a dog, and Toby refuses. So Jordan, they shoot the dog instead.
And was the dog even sick?
That's the question. Like, it's not clear whether the dog... Like, because Owen tells Toby that the dog has cancer and that the is suffering.
And also, like, the evil twink. Can I say that? The evil secret sleeper agent.
Yeah.
Like, hints
Gabriel.
That the dog... Oh, I hate to see animals suffer.
Yeah.
This dog is definitely sick. Look at how it's walking. So, like, now in our heads, it's like, oh, this doggo is sick. But we don't know that. Because he's a liar.
Yes.
And a cheat.
And then the evil twink, as you call them, Gabriel, seduces Stu, the swimmer captain guy. And
that guy can swim. I was mesmerized.
He is a good swimmer. And then basically Owen and Gabriel take Owen Zane, who's the, I don't know, one of the camp counselors. They take Stu and torture him with a car battery as aversion therapy. We also have some hookups as part of the movie. So just to mention real quick that, who is it? It's Alexandra. Alexandra and Kim get together and they have
It is not Alexandra.
Not Alexandra.
Mm-mm. Alexandra is the trans girl.
Oh, gosh. Why am I? Veronica. It's the names. Veronica and Kim get together. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And then Stu and Toby get together. We also have the most awkward straight love scene in existence. It's not
a straight love scene.
Okay, fair. We have a very awkward...
This is a comedy.
Yes, this is a comedy. Like, it's... Okay, to describe what happens in this scene, it's the two counselors who are actually gay, but are like...
They're literally just gay best friends.
Yeah. They're looking through their phones at pictures of various people, and it's clear... Of campers, and it's clear that the woman is interested in the women, and it's clear that the man is interested in the men, and then they start to have sex, but the man is staring at pictures of Stu while he does it. So it's like, okay, that's the thing. Anyway, while this is going on, there's an escalating series of murders happening at the camp, and they're murdering all the camp employees. Also, I should mention, Jordan finds out that the camp counselors have been torturing people, and they tell Molly, who's the camp nurse, and the camp nurse acts all shocked and is going to turn them in, but it turns out the camp nurse is the murderer all along, and they murder all the camp counselors, and then at the end, the police are coming, and everyone, all the kids are okay, but all the counselors are dead.
And that's the movie.
That's the movie. It's it could not have been good. It's not good. It's not bad either.
Right? It's so neutral. I don't think it'll leave an impression on me, which is unfortunate. It had the capacity to be really scary. But I think the fact that it's a sensitive topic just like closed all those doors.
I think they should have felt... Okay, so I was thinking about like, why is this toothless? And I think the answer is that... They don't kill anyone who doesn't deserve it, seemingly. Mm-hmm. And part of horror is that people who don't deserve it need to die too. And so you needed to kill some of the kids. By the way, what are the ages here? Because some of them seem like they're like supposed to be 15 or 16, but some say also that they're like 18. Like
in college or going to college. Some are in college.
And then it's one of those things where it's compounded by the fact that they're all played by actors in their early 20s. So who the heck knows how old anyone is supposed to be?
They were trying to avoid having adults be sexual towards young kids.
Yes.
But like, this is a horror movie where you're supposed to show us the scaries.
Yeah.
Right. So that's earlier you said how like the beginning lulled you into a sense of security when Kevin was being real chill about everything.
Yep.
To me, it did the opposite. Because first of all, you're going into this knowing it's a scary, creepy movie, right?
Yeah.
And you know me, I am a chicken. Like that first scene, I actually started watching the movie yesterday. I was going to watch it yesterday at night.
Yeah.
And be very good about watching horror by watching it in the dark alone. But I was very tired because I came home from the gym and it was like 3 a.m. and I was sleeping.
She means she came home from McDonald's. But
I went to the gym, then I got McDonald's, okay? It was a little treat for myself. So already I'm in the headspace of this is a scary movie, right? By that point, we do not know who is going to get killed. So I'm assuming it's going to be the campers.
Yeah.
And when Kevin is so chill, that actually was the freakiest thing in the whole movie for me. Because you know that something bad is happening. It's a movie about a conversion camp. Yes. So, like, I kept waiting for it to escalate very quickly. And it never escalated. Like, that torture scene didn't feel... Like, it was funny. They had the worst PowerPoints they could possibly have made.
Yeah, the torture scene was a little goofy.
It left no impression.
Yeah.
And that was the only, like, bad thing that was happening there, other than the weird, like, groundskeeper man spying on the girls in the shower.
Yeah.
What else happened that was, like, oh, these are bad people, other than the dog scene? It's just that weird torture and the dog. That's it. But they felt so forced because everything else, like, there are so many scenes of the kids just, like, having fun.
Yeah.
And it would have worked better, I think, if they had a lot of, like, actually legitimately bad things happening. But also they're kids, so they're going to have fun playing a tug of war with a rope, right?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been extremely sad and scary if these kids knew what was happening to them. But they're still at camp.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they had a lot of potential. But once again, and I understand this, like, this movie was not bad. It just couldn't do what most horror movies could do.
Right.
Conversion therapy camp. What a topic to make a horror movie about that is in this direction. I don't think there's a way to make a legitimately good movie about this topic without, like, having an extremely high chance of just having the worst press for the rest of your life. So I understand directors not wanting to, like, producers, writers not wanting to work on movies like this or make them what they could be. But it could have been cool.
Yeah, that's the disappointing part, is that you've got, okay, so I will say that all the actors are fine. They're fine to good.
No people were killed in the making of this movie.
No, like, you've got, and you've got an interesting concept, right? Like, you've got this transgressive concept of, like, okay, it's, you know, a typical slasher horror, but it's happening at a conversion therapy camp. Like, to me, this is all, and you've got a big name star, Kevin Bacon. Like, you've got all the things you need here to make a good horror film that maybe is not going to be the next Shining, but certainly is going to be something that people, like, talk about, and it falls flat, and it's really disappointing. So I'm basically disagreeing with what you're saying. Anyway,
Tell you my theory?
I'd love to hear your theory.
So when I was first, like, trying to figure out who was doing it, and when I realized that only the counselors were going,
yep.
And this was right after, up to the point where the ground, when Balthazar gets murdered.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for one of the campers to go. And by that point, I like all the campers. So I'm like, oh man, here it comes. And then he gets killed. So immediately, my first thought was that it was going to be, the bro-y counselor's wife. I thought she was an ex-camper that was extremely, like, messed up from the camp and is getting revenge.
I thought literally. It was going to turn out to be two of them. Like, I thought it was going to be her and her husband, boyfriend, fiance, whatever, Zane, the big beefy guy. I thought the two of them were working in concert. That was my theory.
Same thing, right? Like, it makes sense. The nurse was just so, like, so very mild, I would say. That, like, I forgot about her. I don't know. She didn't leave any impression on me, which I feel like for being a huge part of the story like that, even secretly, she should have been more memorable.
Well, the thing that was confusing about her was that, like, okay, so Jordan comes to her with evidence of the abuse and tells her about it. And then the nurse, Molly, goes to Owen and is like, I know what you're doing here. I'm going to tell everyone. And it's like, wait, but you're here to murder everyone. Shouldn't you just be like, oh, I know you're torturing kids. That's cool. I'm totally on board with that and going to let you do that. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not going to murder you tonight.
Exactly.
Like, why would you blow up your own spot like that? Like, if you're there to murder everyone, just go. Why would you not go with the flow for a little bit until you can do that?
Especially if you're, like insane enough to kill people.
Yeah, and like at the end, she goes all like mustache twirl, maniacal laugh, like, we're going to go to every camp in the world and do this. Like, yes. It's just like, oh my God. Okay, calm down. Take it down a notch. I agree that these conversion camps should not exist. Does not mean you need to go personally murder every single person in them.
Yeah, that was funny. It was... so, like, very quietly out of the blue. But I don't know, like, I was, trying to gather my thoughts here.
Okay.
I was kind of glad that I didn't have to watch any gay kids get killed on the screen.
Like, I mean,
I was so happy about that. But at the end of the movie, I was like, maybe one could have been okay.
Okay, just, I'm gonna put you on the spot now. Which one? Mm-hmm. Which one would you kill? You have to choose one to kill.
Ooh,
pick one.
Which would leave the worst? And oh my god. Okay.
Okay.
The pie girl. I feel like that would be devastating.
Kim.
Yes.
Kim Hartman, which I think is the name of a character from Death Stranding.
I could not play that game.
That would be a very funny joke to people, because there is a character named Hartman. There's also a character named Die Hardman. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I think if she died, she was, like, in a way, the most unoffensive, I would say. Even though, like, the stigma around that is just awful.
She's right? The most she's, like, quote-unquote,
the straight one.
Yes.
That could have been a commentary. I honestly think if she got killed, I would be sad for the rest of my life. Because, like, first of all, in the sense of a horror movie, she's the expendable one, right?
Yeah, she's the cheerleader. Because
what are the rules?
She's the cheerleader who dies first, right?
Exactly. Like,
that's her...
also, her and the girlfriend bonked.
Yeah. And, of course, again, in the rules of horror, if people hook up, one or both of them need to die.
And she's blonde and she's smart.
Yes.
So, like, a smart cheerleader... Well,
and makes
a
good and makes a good pie, apparently.
Makes a great pie, is just, like, very cool and conflicted in, like, a way that the audience sees. If she died, I feel like it would be a good movie, even though I would be devastated. And I'd probably be sitting here when we were talking about it and being like, how could they kill her? How dare they?
Yep.
Like, that is homophobic and awful, but... You know what I mean? Like, it would have gotten a strong reaction from me.
Yeah.
Because it would, like, that would be my choice and is the choice that, like, I hate making.
Yeah.
Who would you kill? What
wanna,
a topic of conversation.
I want to say Stu, but he does get tortured into unconsciousness. So,
he
halfway
yeah.
there. Oh, it's a tough one. I almost want to go with, I mean, part of me wants to go with Jordan just to be transgressive and be like, yeah, kill the main protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would drive the stakes home a lot and would be very shocking.
Pun intended.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm going to go with Jordan. I think Jordan finds out about the torture. Owen kills them. I feel like that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Especially because, like, they're very confrontational.
Yes.
It would make sense, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it works. The more I think about it, the more that's the one I would do. And I know, again, they didn't do it because they didn't want to show any queer people getting murdered. Well,
which
aside
is
from the,
very fair.
Aside from the two camp counselors who are technically in denial, but are in fact
not
gay.
Not even in denial, who are literally the victims of this camp.
Yes.
Like, quite literally, probably the most victim-y victims of this camp.
Yeah.
Other than Kevin, which is another gripe I have with the movie. They show, like, the olden times picture in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right before the movie starts.
Yeah.
As, like, the little intro credits, whatever. And then they show it once when Jordan is breaking into the office.
Yeah.
They could have done more with that. Every horror movie about a camp needs to have a little bit about the history.
Yeah, like, you need... Let's workshop this, because then mm-hmm. this movie is very short. It's like an hour 40 minutes.
We should go back to those.
We should go back to
movies that short.
I don't mind it. Like, it was nice to just sit down mm-hmm. and watch a movie and not have to get up and go to the bathroom midway through. You know, like, it's nice to have a movie that's just a tight 100 minutes and done. But the one thing I will say, like, you could definitely add an extra 5 to 10 minutes, spend a little more time on the camp. You got to have, like, a horror story, right? Like, be like, this was once a religious camp for a cult, but they all mysteriously died. Or, you know, like, you always have to set up some kind of, like, haunted backstory or, like,
Or they're... even have Kevin just have, like, tendencies to behave in ways that are different from cool and collected.
Yeah.
He's an unhinged person.
But right? He never loses his cool the whole movie. Even when he's getting killed. Yeah, even when he's dying, he's just like, oh, you did do the thing that you were going to do. I'm going to die now. I'm Kevin Bacon. I don't know why.
You're the man now, nurse lady.
Yeah, you're the camp counselor now. By killing me, you have become the conversion camp.
Can you just imagine, like, having him as the bad guy, just as he is now, and then learning about his past, which is like, it's like a LaCroix. There's a hint of a hint. You know?
Yeah.
He was probably also a queer person.
That was the impression I got. Like, it's never stated. You get these tiny little hints.
Like his pants are way too high.
Yeah, and not to stereotype, he does talk about his love of musical theater at one point. And there's other stuff. Like, you get the impression that his wife is the one who's, like, really forcing him to go through with things.
I didn't get that.
I got the vibe that she was, like, the power behind the throne. And that she was secretly, like, kind of the brains behind this operation. And that he was just going along with his wife.
No. I got more of a sense of, like, this is a woman who's not interested in an actual, like, relationship. She's interested in seeming perfect. And both of them are such fake people that they fit together well. But I think they're, if not equally into it, then he definitely felt like the leader of this whole thing to me.
Okay.
Because he's, like, he's the man, right?
Fair.
And she's into that structure.
Yeah, that's true. She's very, like, I don't know, very traditional gender roles. That's true. So, good point. Okay. It just came to my mind. The sing-along.
Oh my god,
What did you think of that?
So
they sing along to Perfect by Pink. Like, all the
That is the theme song of this campers. Movie, unironically, yes, literally.
It plays down the credits.
Yes.
So it's Perfect by Pink, and they all, after, like, the counsel, after the doctor, the therapist, the wife is mean to them all, they all come back to the cabin, and they all start singing Perfect by Pink.
I just really loved that the jock guy got into it so readily and immediately.
Yeah.
I think that's what I liked about that scene. But Jordan seems to have, like, a grizzled, sad past of being queer, right? Yeah. That speech that she made would not have made them cry. Come on. That was not enough.
Yeah.
I feel like as queer people, we're like, we know the bad stuff to say to queer people.
Yeah.
In such, like, an intimate way that this felt just, like, silly.
It felt toothless. It's just like, come on, you could be, I say meaner things than that to myself in the mirror every morning. You gotta step this up a bit.
Yeah,
movie.
Just like, like, sometimes our jokes are meaner than that.
Yeah, come on, movie, you can do that. And I again, because it's like they don't want to be,
which is so valid and
they're
fair.
They're pulling their punches, and I get why they did that, but I kind of don't. Again, horror is supposed to be shocking and awful. Like, that's mm-hmm. the whole point. Whether it's showing someone getting dismembered or just, like, tortured verbally, you should be unafraid to say all those awful things, because LGBT people hear those in the real world. And at a conversion camp, from what I've read, they're way worse. They do way worse things. Like, this camp seems so comfortable.
This is a regular camp.
Yeah, they get to go out when they want. They get to sneak into each other's rooms. They get to hook up. But, like, I've read about conversion camps, you know? It's more like a jail. You get put in a room and locked in there. You don't get to talk to anyone. You get tortured if you've so much as back talk, whereas Jordan is going around just, like, back talking to everyone, and it just doesn't portray a conversion camp as they exist in the real world, which is so frustrating, because it's like, if you're going to do this movie, do it right and show the horrors of what an actual conversion camp is, instead of showing us this, like, normal sleepaway camp, but also for 20 minutes a day they get yelled at by the therapist, which is, like, if you told me,
didn't
like,
feel like 20 minutes. It felt like five.
5 minutes. Like, if you told me, like, Chloe, you can go to this great retreat with all these fun outdoor activities, and just for 5 minutes a day, you have to get yelled at. I'd be like, okay.
Right? It's like, you just talk to a lady who...
Who's mean
needs
to you.
Therapy.
Yeah.
Who needs therapy.
Yeah, that's what I'd be seeing. I'd be like sitting there just being like, this therapist needs therapy. You know, like...
You know what I really wanted to happen?
What?
I wanted Jordan to just, like, every time they do an activity and they're the most perfect Mary Sue about it, I wanted them to be like, I'm a champion. After that shooting scene, I kept waiting for them to just, like, be extremely good at everything, and they didn't do it, and that would have been hilarious and great.
That was very funny that Jordan turned out to be, like, the shooting champion of the world or whatever.
This could have been great, but it was just good, I guess. Was it good? It was okay.
It was not bad. I don't know if it was good.
Yeah. I'm not a judge of horror movies. I cannot watch them. Well, I can only tolerate
zombie movies.
Let's just
be clear
movies.
To our audience. This is not a horror film.
No, it is not. At first, I was mad at Chloe. And
then
I was like, oh, it's
fine. This is a film where people die. And it has some of the tropes of horror. But there's no point in this where I was like scared. Because I'm a scaredy cat.
The beginning was scary.
I am a scaredy cat when it comes to horror films, too. Well, yeah. Like, the beginning was a little scary. There's this scene where the nurse who's supposed to be there, the other nurse kills her and takes her place. And there's this whole scene where she's like, her car breaks down, and then like a deer emerges from the woods and scares her. And then she gets
killed. And she gets out of her car and walks around in the night a little bit. Yeah. That is horror movie scary. I was like, I'm going to yell at Chloe tomorrow. This is awful. Why is she making me watch these movies? And then it was like the most tame movie.
Yeah, it's basically just like, I don't know what to call it. It's just like, it's not even a horror film. It's not a thriller. It's just a film where people die while other people are there. Not even trying to, it's not a detective because they're not trying to figure out who did it.
They're like a weird revenge movie.
It's revenge porn, I guess. But like, part of the problem is that they need to establish the stakes sooner. And the person getting the revenge, maybe they should... Would it really have harmed to show us who it is instead of just that... Like, again, they try and use this horror trope of the murderer wearing this creepy mask, which I just found silly at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if they're going to wear a creepy mask, you need to establish something behind it. Like, oh, they wear that mask because, you know, they were here at the camp and they were forced to... into a fire as part of aversion therapy, and they got burns all over their face. I don't know, like,
or like Jeremiah Whistle, the 18th, who started the camp, made the campers wear these masks when he tortured them. Like, you know, something like that would have been kind of very cool.
Yeah.
And once again, like, they needed to show why the camp was bad.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing. Like, they're at a conversion camp, you're trying to make a thesis about it, but the camp is cool.
Yeah, like, I mean, it gets bad as it goes on, but I would start with it.
But even the bad stuff, like, they showed, like, weird photos of kids with, like, bruises.
And the men do have to do the, like, whole shooting thing, and he listens to the weird speech about, I don't know,
but that's
eating
nothing,
meat or
you know
whatever.
What I mean?
But, and the shooting the dog. But, like, also, the women have, like, nothing bad. Like, they make pies. That's the worst thing that happens to the women. And like,
then, like, the hot Barbie counselor, like, is very pedophilic towards the blonde camper.
But
I'm
like,
great at names, guys.
Yes.
I love names. I memorize them so well.
Well, it doesn't help. Okay. You know, like, I feel like in a movie, when you have characters, when you've got, like, an ensemble cast like this, characters need to say their names more often so that we remember, even if it's a little fake, even if it's just someone being, like... Yo, Kim, come check this out. Like, that helps me remember, but I'm pretty sure...
I've never heard a name in this movie.
I'm pretty sure Kim and Veronica say their names, like, once at the very beginning when everyone's being introduced, and then you never hear their names again. And it's just like, I cannot remember anyone's names. The only reason I know is because I've got the IMDb up with the actors.
I only remember pictures. Alex's name because they like misgender her on purpose all the time. Like, yes.
Jordan, because Jordan is like, they're like the main character.
Yeah. And their name gets said a bunch.
And then I know Kevin Bacon is Owen Whistler because I have the wiki open, but otherwise I would have just been calling him Kevin Bacon the whole time. I love Kevin Bacon. Not a guy who disappears into his roles, though. He's still Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. That was not an Owen, which is fine.
Yeah. No, I really like Kevin Bacon. I like everything he's done.
Have you ever been to a camp like this? Not
version. That was like going to be my question, camp. Was whether you've done a sleepaway camp.
I never have. I wanted to as a child. But now I know I would have despised it.
Actually, when I was 18, I went to, it was the Rotary Youth Leadership Camp.
Okay.
It was at the YMCA camp in Estes Park, Colorado. And I think we were only there for like 3 or 4 days. It was not very long. And the thing about it, though, is that it had like full dorms. Like, it was not like tents or cabins. They were full dorms. But we did all the camp stuff, like, I don't know, team building exercises. And I just remember playing a lot of Frisbee. Like, there was just so much Frisbee. I don't know. And I remember a lot of like sitting around there were a lot of like, they brought in a lot of like leadership speakers, which I thought was like the worst thing ever, because if anyone talks to you about leadership, I don't know. It's just like, it's the most useless thing you can do is have someone. I've gone to so many things over the years being the overachiever that I always was in school, where like, I was always in the like honor society, future whatevers of America, leaders, whatever ship stuff. And they always have these like inspirational speakers to come in and talk to you about leadership. And everything they tell you is a bunch of crap. And none of it makes any sense or means anything. The fact is, most of them just got lucky achieving some kind of aspiration or benefited from, you know, something else. But like, there was a lot of that. Anyway, so. And there was a lot of like shenanigans that went on after hours because everyone was 17 or 18. And you better believe there was a lot of stuff going on after hours.
Uh-oh.
That's all I'm going to say. Not going to name anything. Cases is still going on. I don't want any kids getting in trouble. I don't want anyone knowing about how we got out and what we did. Let's just say got out, experienced some things I would not have experienced otherwise.
It was a camp. Another question. Is this the same set that they filmed Fear Street? I feel like it's very similar.
I was wondering, like
when watching Fear Street, I was like, why do these doors have nets in them? That is weird and I don't like it.
Maybe not specifically Fear Street, but I did think like, do they just film every horror camp movie at the same camp? Because it feels very similar.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe
is that
there's
what cabins are like? Do they just like have transparent doors?
Again, the one I stayed at was like a dorm style, like we had a room, but like I don't know. I would want to know more about like the film. Like, is there just like a camp somewhere in like California, not too far from Hollywood, where everyone just films all their camp horror films? That wouldn't surprise me.
Probably. It makes sense. What did I want to... There was something I wanted to mention, but... Well, okay, the humor in this movie is top-notch, actually.
Yes.
I really liked the jokes.
Yeah.
I liked when... what was his name? The gay black kid.
Toby.
When Jordan was like, you want... No, when Alex was like, you want to take the jock with us when we escape this murder camp? And Toby's like, yeah, we're practically fiancés.
Yeah.
That was hilarious because it was so true.
Or like when Jordan is having the shootout with Zane and Jordan says to Zane, ladies first.
Yeah, like there's a lot of good quips in there. Like it's legitimately a funny movie.
Yes.
Unironically, very good jokes written in there. What else? There was something else. Like, I don't know, just the way that the gay best friends straight couple, when they were like about to have sex and the way they were going about it, it was It was so funny. I almost woke my sister up laughing.
And the PowerPoint. Don't forget the PowerPoint of like hot men and women that they show Stu to torture him.
It's like the weirdest photos.
Yeah.
They seem like photos that would be in like a magazine perfume ad.
Yeah, they're not
but like faker.
Like, again, I feel like if everybody, I would show like porn. Like, not like weird colored and posed models. Like, they're presented.
Even just like regular people. That would be scarier. You know, just to have like regular men on screen. And that being like the deterrent.
Right.
That weird, like, the face is almost invisible on these photos is just because the abs are so glistening.
Have you seen The Clockwork Orange?
No.
Okay. Or read the book. One of the key themes in there is aversion therapy and using it to, like, they use it to show the main character not to commit crime by getting him to associate, you know, doing anything like criminal or sexual with pain and nausea. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly trying to be like an homage to that scene because it's very similar. Like, they strap the kid into the chair and they like force him to look at this screen, but it's done in such a cheesy, weird way. Again, it's just like, okay, I think you've said this, just I'm going to summarize it, what you're saying, like, either this movie needs to be a lot scarier or this movie needs to be a lot, lean much more into the humor. It needs to pick one of these two. Like, it would have been so funny if, like, imagine if they had that PowerPoint and then, like, halfway through they had, like, I don't know, a scene from The Birdcage. Like, that would have been hilarious.
That would have just,
like weird, they just got
little queer nods. Like,
yeah.
Oh, like, my God, you're so right. Yes, that would have been great. And also scary.
Yeah.
You know what I kind of needed here?
What?
I needed the campers fighting back.
Yeah, they don't really have to. Because everyone just gets killed by the nurse before they even really need to fight back. Like, Jordan, they're making plans to fight back. They're like, we're going to steal the bus and leave and tell people what's going on. They don't have to do that because everyone's dead by the end.
Yeah. Even having a scene where maybe the nurse accidentally, like, almost kills a camper, that would have introduced stakes to, like, she didn't have to kill a camper, but it could have been, like, oh, the camper's seen that there's a weird, like, axe-wielding murderer. They have one of those scenes, but, like, that scene in the forest where they're all sitting around, and then the nurse comes out in her little mask, and then backs away and literally disappears.
Yeah.
She literally disappeared. Yep. Like, she didn't go behind a tree. They did movie magic, and she disappeared. It was so bad. But it would have been great if all of it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was like very selectively moments and individual scenes that were like unwatchable. And because everything else was kind of normal, like those scenes didn't work the way they could have if everything was campy and terrible. And also, they've all, like, they've made all the campers kind of resourceful kids who come from bad situations that I wanted to see them be creative and, like, come up with ways to protect themselves. Because they're definitely, like, people who are able to protect themselves.
Right? Like, and they establish as part of the beginning that all of them have, like, aspects of them where they're, like, very, like, I don't know, they're able to, be creative or problem solve or... You know, even Stu is just a big muscular beefcake, but that could be important. Nope.
Yeah, like, they had the qualifications of a Scooby-Doo gang.
And at the end, Jordan, who we've established that they're a champion marks person, they have a gun, and you're like, it's just like Chekhov's gun. It's just like, you've established that this person is a skilled shooter. They are holding a gun. They are in a room with both Owen Whistler, the villain, arguably, and Molly Erickson, the murderer, and they don't get a chance to shoot either of them. It just is like, why?
Can you just imagine if they did shoot and they shot like the knife out of their hands or some like dumb thing, and then all three of them would fight? That would be hilarious and also, like, engaging and entertaining and fun. But no, they made, like, a speech and they finished the thesis of this movie.
Okay, that whole scene. Jordan is there. If Jordan hadn't been there, that whole scene would have played out exactly the same. Nothing would have changed. That's what bugs me about it.
Owen would have killed the nurse.
Would he have? I guess he had the gun, but, like...
Not only that, like, he overpowered her, and only because Jordan
I guess.
But, like, once again, literally doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, because the cops were
coming. I don't care
enough
about either of those people to have felt anything.
Yeah. Frustrating movie.
Like, they either could have made the nurse much creepier or a bigger part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Or they could have had the campers be in danger from not only the camp, but also the killer. Or at least have them feel like they're in danger from the killer.
Yeah, I think just an extra 5 to 10 minutes establishing those. Or just go the completely opposite route and make it a comedy, whatever.
Right, like, okay. Have you seen Ready or Not?
No.
You need to watch it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's not a podcast thing because it's not queer.
Okay.
But we could make an episode about it because we're gay. And
sky's the limit for us.
Exactly.
Yes.
But like, that is a legitimate fun movie that I've seen that is like a horror thriller sort of thing. And it was very good. And I watched it with my sister. And it is a movie that you get together with a bunch of people and you just watch it together. And it's silly and dumb, but it's good. And like, it's good in a way where you are going to get roasted for saying it's good. But like, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
And this could have been closer to that movie, and I'm telling you, you would have loved it. We would have loved this movie. It would have been, like, I've never heard of it until you told me about it. I think only Kevin Bacon fans probably know of it. I've literally never heard of this movie. But if it was a little closer to Ready or Not, I feel like it would have probably made bigger ripples.
What do Kevin Bacon fans call them? So they're called, like, Bacon Bites?
Oh my god. How long have you been sitting on that?
Wait, there's a website called Bacon Bros.
Bacon Bros.
That's apparently the official... Oh, wait, they have a band. Kevin Bacon has a band with his brother. They're called the Bacon Brothers.
That makes sense. Yeah. I believe that wholeheartedly. I feel like that was a fact that I didn't know, but I knew in my soul.
Do you want to go see Kevin Bacon in concert with me, Val?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, they're only playing in Washington, unfortunately. I know. We'll have to fly.
State.
I'll start pricing out the airline tickets. Okay, so...
Can you imagine, like, going to Washington State and then having to say it's for a Kevin Bacon concert?
Yeah.
What a power move.
I know. It would just be like, yeah, I'm here to visit the fair state of Washington to see Kevin Bacon.
And his brother.
His brother, whose name I am not seeing on the website. Where is his name?
Did they not put his name on the website? That is so rude.
Michael Bacon.
Mikey.
Go Mike Bacon.
That guy is a great musician.
It looks like they're having fun together.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of like actors are very quietly musicians.
Yes.
What's his name? The...
Russell Crowe.
No, the blonde guy who's like the heartthrob in a lot of movies. He's in... is he in The Notebook? Is that what it's called?
Oh, Ryan Gosling?
Yes. He has like... I don't know if it's a band, but he does music.
Okay.
I think one of his songs was in Teen Wolf.
On that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up because now we're just talking about different actors and their musical careers. Any final thoughts on this movie, Val?
I weirdly enjoyed not being horrified because I don't like scary movies.
Okay.
It was fun. I did enjoy it. I liked it way better than the other movie we did, The A, which, what was that movie? Is it
A?
All About, is it All About A?
What is all that? About E?
E. The E movie.
The E.
The A movie. It was, like, I could watch this in a group of people and not suffer. Like, it's fine. It was okay. It wasn't bad.
For reference, All About Eve was covered in episode 22. For those of us, for those of you who are curious.
That clarinet still haunts me. I'm still so mad at that.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess if you're interested in an LGBTQ horror film, there's some other options out there, like, well, Babadook, as mentioned.
I haven't seen that, actually.
It's not actually. It was just a Tumblr joke, I think, that got out of hand.
No, I know. That's okay. The one thing I know about that whole thing is that it's not actually queer. But
we need to do Interview with the Vampire. Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, like,
I would homoerotic love to interview a vampire.
Homoerotic subtext for, like, just, like, hours of them. I don't know. It's just, like, so... It's just the most queerly not queer movie, but, like, it's very good. We need to do that sometime. Anyway, yeah, this movie, just unlike Interview with the Vampire, is very toothless. So if you're looking for toothless quasi-horror, then check out They/Them. If you want anything else, well, check out something else. Thank you all so much for tuning in.
You know, sorry, just one final thought.
Yes.
I will say, the acting was great.
Yes.
Which is rare in horror movies that I've watched.
Yeah.
So they have that.
Yeah,
and the cinnamon photography was also pretty great.
The cinnamon photography?
Cinematography?
Cinematography. You said cinnamon photography.
Cinnamon photography, yeah.
The cinnamon photography. I know what I said. The cinnamon photography. On that note, thank you all so much for tuning in. Just want to mention our pluggables. Our first thing, we have a new Tumblr. What is the URL, Val?
ThePodInMediaLiz.tumblr.com.
Cool. Check us out, Tumblr fans. Is there Tumblrers? I don't know what. We also have.
No, I refuse.
We have a Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest @InMediaLiz. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLiz. Our website is InMediaLiz.com, and you can reach us at InMediaLiz@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for liking, rating, subscribing, whatever it is you do. Respond to us on social media, goofing, whatever you want. We'd love to hear it. Thank you.
And we'll see you in the next one.
Happy Spooktober.
Spooky.